On radio, online and mobile. You're with SBS Radio.
This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Sasha Payne.
And I'm Janice Peterson. Coming up...
We got a call about 1 o'clock this morning saying that they were going to be over in 5 minutes. And we were told the wonderful news that our family had been rescued.
A kidnapped couple and their three children born in captivity freed in Pakistan.
Also tonight...
The aim is to ensure a peaceful, negotiated outcome to the current tensions.
Australia's foreign and defence ministers head to South Korea to amp up the diplomatic pressure on North Korea.
And Australia's cricketers head into the final match of their troubled Indian tour. We'll preview the weekend in sport.
Those stories and more in the next 30 minutes.
Good evening. With the news at 6 o'clock, I'm Janice Peterson. Cheaper premiums are being promised as the results of a shake-up to the private health insurance system announced by the federal government. The government's touting that people under 30 in particular will benefit from the changes. They'll be offered a 2% discount on premiums each year, up to a maximum of 10%, and they'll keep the discount until they turn 40. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, says young people will be enticed into purchasing private health insurance by the changes. He also denies that the government removing alternative therapies such as yoga, homeopathy and reflexology off the list of things covered will be a disincentive for young people.
What you're better off doing to bring young people into health insurance is to give them a discount. So a 10%, you know, up to a 10% discount is going to be very compelling. And then, you know, rather than including various alternative therapies.
The waiting period for mental health services will be scrapped as part of the changes. The federal opposition is reacting sceptically to the government's claims its newly founded reforms will significantly drop the price of premiums. Premiums have risen by an average of 5.6% per year since 2010. The Health Minister, Greg Hunt, won't name a figure on how much that could fall as a result of the changes. Opposition Health spokeswoman Catherine King says premiums may still rise significantly next year.
There is absolutely no guarantee in this package that there will be a lower private health insurance premium rise in April next year. No guarantee at all. Certainly we'd welcome if there is any downward pressure on private health insurance premiums, but from what we can see from this package, there is no guarantee it will be less than 4%.
Federal opposition leader Bill Shorten says instability and indecision within the federal government is the reason power prices continue to rise, despite former Prime Minister Tony Abbott's comments in London this week that climate change may be doing more good than harm. Mr. Shorten says Labor would be willing to pursue a bipartisan policy with the government on energy. But he says the problem with that is the government is divided and not in touch with ordinary Australians.
Turnbull and his crew think the bipartisan means when Tony Abbott and Turnbull can sit in the same room. The reality is that climate change is real. The reality is that energy prices keep going up and up and up. The government's got no plan. The single biggest driver of household energy bills in this country is a lack of climate and energy policy. The Turnbull government is so out of touch, they're just fighting each other.
The Australian government has again emphasised its support for South Korea amidst tensions with North Korea. Foreign Affairs Minister Julie Bishop and Defence Minister Maurice Payne have met their South Korean counterparts in Seoul. Ms Payne says North Korea's recent nuclear tests, now numbering 6, show the isolationist state is trying to start trouble.
We're aligned on our views on North Korea's unacceptable and provocative behaviour. We, of course, have strongly condemned their ballistic and nuclear missile activities. We stand by the Republic of Korea in the face of threats from North Korea.
Ms Bishop and Ms Payne have also visited a war memorial paying tribute to Australians who died in the Korean War. US President Donald Trump plans to deliver a broad and harsh critique of Iran in a speech declaring that the landmark Iran nuclear deal is not in America's national security interests. Officials say Mr. Trump's speech from the White House tomorrow will outline specific faults he finds in the 2015 accord, but will also focus on an array of Iran's troubling non-nuclear activities. Those include Tehran's ballistic missile program, support for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, and other groups that destabilise the region. White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly says the president is right to re-evaluate the US strategy on Iran.
Clearly the president has, he's deep in thought, to say the least, about way ahead in Iran. And once again, he's not the only one that thinks that maybe the deal that was struck under the previous administration is a deal that in the long term, even in the medium and long term, will protect America.
A landmark pill testing trial that's been scheduled for a Canberra music festival next month has been abandoned. The dispute over documentation has caused what would have been an Australian first event to no longer go ahead at the Spilt Milk Music Festival on November 25. Time to check the weather now. Perth, sunny and fine 30. Adelaide should be all clear in 23. An early shower, then sunny for Melbourne 19. 19 the top two for Hobart, mostly sunny there. Canberra, possible morning showers in 19. Wollongong, showers easing in 19, a degree warmer in Sydney. It'll be wet there too. For Brisbane, a shower or two and 24. Cairns, mostly sunny, 31. And Darwin, partly cloudy, 35. And Sasha, more news on SBS at 6:30.
Thanks, Janice. Across Australia, this is SBS World News Radio. It's 6 minutes after six. I'm Sasha Payne. Kidnapped couple from the United States and Canada and their three children born in captivity have been freed in Pakistan. The couple was abducted in neighbouring Afghanistan nearly 5 years ago. Matt Connellan reports.
Caitlin Coleman from the United States and her Canadian husband Joshua Boyle were backpacking in Afghanistan in 2012. They were believed to have been kidnapped by the Taliban-allied Haqqani network and held hostage. The United States has long accused Pakistan of failing to fight the group, but President Donald Trump has changed his tune after news they've been released 5 years later.
The Pakistani government's cooperation is a sign that it is honoring America's wish that it do more to provide security in the region. And I want to thank the Pakistani government. I want to thank Pakistan.
President Trump didn't stop there. Despite being highly critical of Pakistan ever since taking over the presidency this year, he has carried on with his praise. And he says Pakistan's cooperation shows a mark of respect for the United States.
They worked very hard on this, and I believe they're starting to respect the United States again. It's very important. I think a lot of countries are starting to respect the United States of America once again. We hope to see this type of cooperation and teamwork in helping secure the release of remaining hostages and in our future joint counterterrorism operations.
Both the U.S. government and the Pakistani army have kept silent about any details on the operation that led to the hostages' release. It's believed U.S. intelligence agencies had been tracking the hostages and knew they'd been moved from Afghanistan to Pakistan. Pakistani forces are believed to have then recovered the couple and their three children, who were all born in captivity. A US State Department statement has used the word rescue in describing the efforts by the US and Pakistani governments to secure their release. Late last year, Mr. Boyle had appeared in a video pleading with the United States to change its policies and secure the family's release.
They will execute us, women and children included, if the policies of the Afghan government are not overturned, either by the Afghan government or by Canada somehow, or the United States, and that we are therefore to ask Canada and the United States to change the policies of the Afghan government so that our captors do not have to face the fear of execution in the future, and that our family will be able to live safely.
The couple appeared in that video with two children, but the aftermath of the rescue was the first time a third child had been heard of. Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland has issued a statement asking for privacy for the family. She wrote, "Joshua, Caitlin, their children and the Boyle and Coleman families have endured a horrible ordeal over the past 5 years. We stand ready to support them as they begin their healing journey." Mr. Wells' mother, Linda, has described the moment she learnt about the rescue.
We got a call about 1 o'clock this morning saying that they were going to be over in 5 minutes. And we were told the wonderful news that our family had been rescued. And then 20 minutes later, we were allowed to actually talk with Josh. So that's the first time in 5 years we got to hear his voice. It was amazing. And he told us how much he looked forward to, his children were looking forward to meeting their grandparents, and that he would see me in a couple of days. So we're waiting for that.
Linda Boyle ending that report from Matt Connellan. This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Sasha Payne. It's 10 minutes after 6. Still to come.
The fact that the government has broken its election promise and retained junk policies remains concerning to me.
The government announces sweeping changes to private health cover, but the opposition remains unimpressed. That's still to come on SBS World News Radio. Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has emphasised the need for diplomatic pressure to stifle North Korea's nuclear ambitions in a visit to the South Korean-North Korean border. Joined by Defence Minister Maurice Payne, Ms Bishop's visit is for a third round of talks to defuse tension in the region. Evan Young has more.
Tensions are high on the Korean Peninsula since North Korea's sixth and largest nuclear test last month and the country's latest missile launch over Japan. Ms. Bishop has told Sky News she supports South Korean efforts to engage North Korea in a peaceful resolution.
Australia has reiterated our support for South Korea. We will stand with them in doing what we can to deter North Korea from further illegal ballistic missile and nuclear weapons tests and compel them back to the negotiating table to resolve the current tensions and crisis.
Ms. Bishop says Australia is also working with Japanese officials and United States Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to try to ensure there is no need for military action. Polling in the region indicates there is an overwhelming desire for peaceful negotiations, despite US President Donald Trump repeatedly stating all options are on the table. Ms. Bishop has stressed all parties want the matter resolved in a non-violent manner.
The focus of the efforts of the United States, South Korea, Australia and others is to ensure that maximum political, diplomatic, economic pressure is placed on North Korea so that it changes course. In my discussions with Secretary Tillerson and with Foreign Minister Kang, the aim is to ensure a peaceful, negotiated outcome to the current tensions.
Reports from the region suggest China will soon play a more active role in peacemaking. Mr. Trump has been urging China to get involved in resolving the situation, something Ms. Bishop says will be important in drafting new sanctions to impose on North Korea.
China is the key. China has the most extensive economic relationship with North Korea. About 95% of North Korea's foreign investment comes from China, about 75% of its trade. So these new sanctions really do focus on China's efforts to put so much pressure, economically speaking, on North Korea that they will come back to the negotiating table.
Maurice Payne says while Australia supports the United States' all options is on the table stance towards North Korea, its first concern is for local stability.
The United States have made clear that military options remain on the table in the event of the worst outcome. Australia has made it very clear that we are working closely with the United States, working closely with South Korea. Our Prime Minister has made very clear our support for the United States, but most importantly, our support for regional stability and security.
Ms. Payne has also announced a group of Australian military forces will soon arrive in South Korea as part of their Indo-Pacific defence activities.
That was Evan Young reporting. This is SBS World News Radio. Coming up,
we are bringing the issue of dowry into a definition of family violence, but also looking at how best to work with people in the Indian community to ensure that dowry doesn't lead to violence.
Australia to become the first country outside India to have dowry abuse laws. That's still to come on SBS World News Radio. The federal government has announced sweeping changes to private health insurance, which it says will simplify the system. As Jani Blackley reports, the government says it's also a very powerful financial incentive for young people to take out private health cover.
It's being announced as the biggest overhaul of the private health insurance system in over a decade. Australians are being promised simpler policies and more affordable premiums. Young Australians are being offered discounts of 2% of their premiums every year from the age of 25, up to a maximum of 10%. Health Minister Greg Hunt says the changes will get more young people into the market.
There's a real incentive for young people to come into the system and to take up private health cover. They want private health cover, but affordability has been an issue. And interestingly, the more young people you have in the system, the lower the average cost of premiums for everybody, because they're less likely to claim. But what they do want to claim for, we know, is mental health, and so we've made mental health easier to access.
The government also says there'll be better access to mental health services, with waiting times scrapped. Private health insurance premiums have risen on average more than 5% each year since 2010. Greg Hunt says that rate should come down under the government's plan.
We want to get the absolute lowest outcome for consumers in terms of the cost that they pay, so the best outcome for consumers. So I'm working with the private health insurers to help drive down the premium pressures. They have guaranteed in writing that they will pass through all of the cost savings, but we'll keep going, and every single dollar matters to every consumer.
A simple labelling system has been introduced for healthcare plans to be categorised as gold, silver, bronze or basic, based on the level of cover they offer. But the opposition health spokeswoman Catherine King is criticising the government for not cracking down on so-called junk policies, which offer minimal levels of cover.
The fact that we've had increasingly junk policies on the market, the fact that the government has broken its election promise and retained junk policies remains concerning to me. Labor has said very clearly we think that junk policies should go.
Ms King also doubts the government's promise that healthcare costs will come down.
There is absolutely no guarantee in this package that there will be a lower private health insurance premium rise in April next year. No guarantee at all. Certainly we'd welcome if there is any downward pressure on private health insurance premiums, but from what we can see from this package, there is no guarantee it will be less than 4%.
Government rebates for natural remedies such as herbal medicine, yoga and Pilates will be taken off the list of items covered. While the federal government struck an agreement with the manufacturers of pacemakers and prosthetics to bring the cost down by $1 billion over the next 4 years. Scott Wilson, the CEO of healthcare comparison company iSelect, says he expects the government measures will slow the increase in costs for private healthcare.
No doubt there's a challenge when you see that even at, say, a 4% rise, that's more than double the wages. Wages are going up. But we think the combination of these measures will actually continue to have a sustainable private health insurance system for many years.
iSelect CEO Scott Wilson ending that report by Jani Blackley. This is SBS World News Radio. I'm Sasha Payne. It's 6:20. Australia is set to become the first country outside India to have laws targeting dowry abuse. The Victorian government is preparing legislation that will target unscrupulous husbands extorting dowry money from the families of their wives. As Gareth Boreham reports, the move coincides with a new report revealing the extent of domestic abuse suffered by migrant women.
Married in India, Shubha Ramalinga moved to Australia with a new husband and bright hopes for the future. Her family had paid him a dowry of $300,000, but the 31-year-old budding film director soon found out he was living a lie.
When I came here in March, I found out that he already has a partner and still got married to me. And I've seen many girls like me suffering here after coming here. In a new country where we don't have anyone, family or not friends, we get isolated here.
The Victorian government is preparing historic laws aimed at preventing the exploitation by husbands of the dowry system. The state's Multicultural Affairs Minister Robin Scott says it's in response to the state's Royal Commission into Family Violence.
We are bringing the issue of dowry into a definition of family violence, but also looking at how best to work with people in the Indian community to ensure that dowry doesn't lead to violence, because there is no excuse for domestic violence or family violence in any circumstance.
The move has been welcomed by psychiatrist Dr. Manjula O'Connor, who says Indian women often fall victim to dowry abuse, where husbands take the money and gifts provided by the bride's family and abandon their partners.
Australia therefore will become the first country in the world outside of India to have this law. And this will have a significant impact on the cultural expectations around dowry back in India as well as Australia.
The often hidden plight of newly arrived migrant women experiencing domestic violence has been highlighted in a Monash University report. Author Associate Professor Marie Seagrave studied 300 cases.
These issues aren't just anecdotal, they're not occasional, but they're systematic. And that we must pay attention to the specificity and implications of migration status in the context of family violence, and in terms of how we respond as a community.
Faye Spiteri, chairwoman of the In Touch Multicultural Centre Against Family Violence, says abusive husbands often exploit their partner's uncertain visa status.
In many cases, that's the critical factor in terms of that being used as a lever for subjugating women to more violence and abuse, because obviously what you have at play there is fear. So women who are more vulnerable don't appreciate what their rights are because they're not aware of them, they don't have that knowledge, and the perpetrator of the family violence uses that against them in many, many of the cases that the organisation has seen.
The report calls for better protection by state and federal governments of vulnerable migrant women, including examining whether anti-slavery and human trafficking laws should be enforced in some cases. Immigration Australia says special rules under the country's migration laws allow victims of domestic abuse to apply for permanent residence, even if the relationship has broken down.
Gareth Borum with that report. It's 23 minutes after 6 on SBS World News Radio. I'm Sasha Payne. It's good to have your company. Backdoor or indirect trade to the lucrative Chinese consumer market known as Daiju was once the domain of enterprising students. But the practice has evolved into a sophisticated business, generating an estimated billion-dollar industry. Luke Waters reports.
As a struggling student, Blair Lin turned a handy profit selling cosmetics and food to friends and family in China. Her business plan was to assess their needs via social media, purchase the goods and mail them home, netting around $1,000 a month.
Because Australian products are very natural and also they're not focused much on like bringing it as a luxury, it's more of a necessity. And back in China, we focus more on natural product and product that back to the ground.
Those products can be difficult to source in China, offering a vast potential market for startups like Melbourne-based organic baby cosmetics company Bubba Organics. Shrewd use of the Daigo process can help forge a path to market supremacy. So founder Kerry Chadwick says she selects her Daigo partners cautiously.
After being approached by many companies offering to take container loads into China for us, we've held back, we've gone with our gut instinct, and we've decided to proceed with caution and make sure that when we do enter the market, we're entering it under our branding with our story behind it by people that actually do know our brand.
Global retail analyst Chris Morley of the company Retail Global says Daigo, which means buying on behalf of, was once viewed as glorified retail piracy.
Over the last 5 years, it's really grown from, I guess, being a cottage industry and just being almost like a glorified smuggler to being actually a legitimised business operation where we've seen Chinese Australians selling upwards of $1 million worth of product over a year for these Daigo purchase products.
Larger businesses are now entering the sector, introducing elaborate social media tracking, online platforms and digital marketing. The unregulated nature of the Daigo process means the Chinese government forfeits two things it values highly, taxes and traceability, meaning the business model may have a limited life cycle. But, at least in the short term, the future looks bright, with estimates the one-time cottage industry now turns over $1 billion annually.
That story from Luke Waters. You're listening to SBS World News Radio. I'm Sasha Payne. In sport this weekend, Australia's cricketers go into the final match of their troubled India tour, looking to end it on a winning note. There's also A-League, English Premier League, basketball and netball to look forward to. John Baldock looks ahead.
It's been a tough cricket tour of India for Australia, with players including captain Steve Smith and fast bowler Pat Cummins unable to stay for the duration due to injury and burnout concerns ahead of the upcoming Ashes series against England. But despite losing the test and one-day series, Stand-in captain David Warner is confident the team can win Saturday morning's third and deciding T20 match in Hyderabad. Warner says Australia must stick to its attacking brand of cricket if it's to win the series.
We've just got to keep playing the game that we know, and that's, you know, the brand of cricket that we bring to the table. You can't worry about, is a collapse going to happen and that, because no one is. No one's worried about that at all. So, as I said, we've just got to go out there and keep backing ourselves 100%, and we know when we go well, we do very, very well.
The English Premier League returns to action this weekend with a blockbuster match between Liverpool and Manchester United at Anfield. Coverage of that game can be seen on SBS from 10 p.m. on Saturday night. But one of the biggest talking points during the international break was the prospect of Barcelona being allowed to join the Premier League. The Catalan club is being caught up in the ongoing push for Catalonian independence from Spain. Should the region ultimately leave Spain, the early signs suggest the club will be forced to leave La Liga. But even if that happens, according to Arsenal coach Arsene Wenger, Barcelona shouldn't be allowed to play in England because of the political complexity of the situation.
If it doesn't go well politically between Catalonia and Spain, it would mean to make a stance of support for Catalonia from England that would certainly not be welcome internationally politically. So I don't believe that is a scenario that you can envisage in a realistic way. And I hope as well that we did not go as far and that Barcelona will continue to play in Spain.
In A-League action this weekend, round two kicks off tonight when the Brisbane Roar faces Adelaide. There are three more matches on Saturday before reigning champion Sydney FC takes on the Wellington Phoenix on Sunday evening. In basketball, the Adelaide 36ers go into their home NBL match with Melbourne United, booted by the signing of American import Alan Wiggins Jr. The 33-year-old forward stands 206 centimetres tall and has played in 10 countries across three continents, including Japan, Belgium, France, Korea, Lebanon and Ukraine. SBS will screen live action from Adelaide starting at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday. And on Sunday at 3, SBS HD has the live coverage of the Sydney Kings versus the Illawarra Hawks. One logistical problem for Sydney is that the Kings also play an away match in New Zealand tonight. But despite the added burden of travelling to and from New Zealand before Sunday's match with the Hawks, coach Andrew Gay says his team has no excuses.
We've got a lot of help. We've got a lot of support staff. A lot of sports science goes in to how you're going to deal with that type of travel, and it's something that all the teams have to deal with. So to me, it's not a huge burden that we carry. It's definitely a factor, but there are way more important priorities and way more significant factors that we have to deal with.
And in netball this weekend, Australia plays New Zealand in the final Constellation Cup match in Sydney on Saturday afternoon. Having won the first three matches of the series, there's only pride on the line for the Silver Ferns, while Australia will look to complete a series clean sweep.
John Baldock with that report. Before we go, a final check of today's main stories. Cheaper premiums are being promised as the result of a shake-up to the private health insurance system, with the government saying under 30-year-olds in particular will benefit. Federal opposition leader Bill Shorten says instability and indecision within the federal government is the reason power prices continue to rise. The federal opposition is pledging to spend $700 million on a rail line in Perth if it wins the next election. And Indian mining company Adani says it will start building on its controversial coal mine in Queensland within the next 10 days. That's SBS World News Radio for now. You can see Janice Peterson on SBS World News. I'm Sasha Payne. Thanks for listening.